Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Economic Consequences of the Peace is John Maynard Keynes's influential 1919 critique of the post-World War I settlement, especially the Treaty of Versailles. Written soon after, he resigned from the British Treasury delegation at the Paris Peace Conference. The book is part economic argument, part political warning, and part historical intervention. Keynes presents the peace terms not as a stable reconstruction of Europe, but as a policy choice that could deepen scarcity, resentment, and instability across the continent. His central concern is Germany, whose ability to recover trade and support European recovery, he believed, was being undermined by punitive reparations and restrictive terms. The book stands at the intersection of economics, diplomacy, and public policy, and it became famous for its forceful challenge to the prevailing optimism of the victors. It remains significant both as a historical document and as an example of how economic analysis can be used to criticize peacemaking and statecraft. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a direct critique of the Treaty of Versailles as an economic settlement. Keynes treats the peace treaty not simply as a diplomatic agreement, but as a flawed economic design. He argues that the settlement imposed on Germany was too harsh to produce recovery and too narrow to create a durable European order. Instead of rebuilding productive capacity and restoring trade, the treaty risked weakening the very economic links that had sustained the continent before the war. This makes the book more than a complaint about terms of punishment. It is a structured argument that political settlements must be judged by their economic consequences. Keynes believed the Allied leaders were focusing on retribution and security while underestimating the practical requirements of stability. His analysis challenges the assumption that a defeated country can be permanently constrained without harming surrounding economies. The book therefore frames the peace as an economic problem of system design, not just a moral verdict on Germany. That perspective is one reason the work remains a landmark in debates over sanctions, reparations, and post-war reconstruction. Secondly, Germany as the central test case for European recovery. A major strength of the book is its focus on Germany as the key variable in Europe's post-war future. Keynes argues that Germany was too economically important to be treated as a permanently broken state because its industrial base, trade networks, and purchasing power were deeply connected to the rest of the continent. If Germany were impoverished, Europe would not simply gain security. It would inherit a weaker market, disrupted commerce, and greater political strain. Keynes therefore treats German recovery as a prerequisite for broader continental recovery. This is a significant analytical move because it shifts attention from the logic of punishment to the logic of interdependence. He assumes that economic systems are relational damage, one major node, and the effects spread outward. The book also suggests that social instability inside Germany could have international consequences, since economic collapse often feeds political radicalization. By placing Germany at the center of the argument, Keynes turns the peace settlement into a warning about the danger of treating one nation's weakness as another nation's safety. Thirdly, the Carthaginian peace and the moral problem of punitive policy. Keynes famously characterizes the settlement as a Carthaginian peace, meaning a peace meant to crush the defeated rather than restore a workable order. This phrase captures the moral and strategic tension running through the book. Keynes is not arguing that justice is irrelevant, but that justice pursued through excessive punishment can become self-defeating. A peace intended to humiliate and weaken an opponent may satisfy immediate political demands, yet still produce long-term instability, resentment, and economic breakdown. The book uses this framework to criticize the Allied powers for confusing victory with wisdom. Keynes suggests that peace should preserve the conditions needed for future cooperation, not merely register the balance of force at the end of war. This is one of the reasons the book had such a wide impact. It translated a technical economic critique into a moral language that ordinary readers could grasp. The Carthaginian peace idea also explains why the book was so controversial, since it challenged the legitimacy of what many contemporaries saw as a justified settlement. Fourthly, an argument about European interdependence and the risk of wider instability, although Germany is the immediate target of Keynes's criticism. The book is ultimately about Europe as an interconnected economic system. Keynes insists that Europe cannot recover if major parts of it are left impoverished, isolated, or politically destabilized. He examines shortages, trade disruption, and the fragile condition of post-war finance as evidence that the continent needed coordination more than punishment. This is one of the book's most forward-looking ideas. Economic policy after war must account for cross-border effects, not just national interests. Keynes warns that if governments impose burdens that outstrip productive capacity, the result will not be orderly payment, but breakdown, unrest, and broader decline. His analysis anticipates later concerns about how economic shocks travel across borders and destabilize institutions. The book therefore matters not only as a commentary on Versailles, but as an early statement of international economic thinking. It argues that peace depends on restoring normal commercial life, credit, and mobility, because political peace cannot survive when the underlying economy is dysfunctional. Lastly, why the book became a defining public and intellectual intervention. The economic consequences of the piece became influential because it combined expert authority with a highly readable and urgent style. Keynes wrote with unusual passion, reflecting his frustration at the conference and his belief that official statesmen were ignoring obvious dangers. That tone helped the book reach beyond specialist economics and into public debate in Britain, the United States, and beyond. Its influence was not limited to immediate controversy. It shaped how later readers understood reparations, the failure of the interwar order, and the relationship between economics and diplomacy. The book also helped establish Keynes as a major public intellectual whose economic judgments could influence political thought. At the same time, later historians and economists have debated how far his warnings were accurate in detail versus powerful in general insight. That tension is part of the book's importance. It is both a policy argument and a historical document that reflects the anxieties of 1919. Readers encounter not just a theory of post-war settlement, but a model of how economic writing can intervene in a major political moment. In conclusion, this book should be read by students of economics, international relations, modern European history, and anyone interested in how policy choices shape long-term political outcomes. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand the Treaty of Versailles not only as a diplomatic event, but as an economic decision with broad consequences for recovery, trade, and stability. Its value lies in the way Keynes connects abstract financial questions to concrete political risks, showing how reparations, shortages, and weakened production can feed resentment and disorder, compared with many books on World War I and peace settlements. It stands out because it is written from the inside by someone who participated in the conference and then publicly rejected the outcome. That insider perspective gives the argument unusual force, while its clear and urgent prose makes it accessible beyond academic audiences. The book remains distinctive because it is both historically specific and conceptually durable. It captures a particular post-war crisis while also offering a lasting framework for thinking about punitive peace terms, economic interdependence, and the limits of victory. If you would like to support John Maynard Keynes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.